Flesh and Blood Christmas Miracle, adapted from an article by Dr. Ralph F. Wilson, here on Christian in New Radio. If you were to ask the average person on the street, what is Christmas all about? You are sure to get a variety of answers. Some say Christmas is getting together with family and friends. Others will tell you Christmas is about giving. Some people think that Christmas is about trees and ornaments, or Santa Claus and toys, or Rudolph with his nose so bright. And a whole lot of frustrated shoppers would tell you that Christmas is about last-minute shopping in stores with long lines and full parking lots.
Humbug.
But so many people miss the real meaning of Christmas, which is about Jesus and the multiple miracles involved in his birth. First of all, let's face it, birth itself, anybody's birth, is a flesh and blood miracle. The umbilical cord is cut, the baby's mouth is cleared, and he lets out a cry, sometimes a loud and very persistent squall, that lets the world know that he's arrived. Then he's given to his mother. And all around, even veteran obstetricians, experienced labor nurses, and midwives who've seen babies born 100 times, smile and enjoy the moment, and think to themselves, what an amazing miracle birth is, the beginning of a brand new human life. Now, the birth of Jesus of Nazareth is a miracle on a number of fronts. First and foremost, I suppose, is that here's another healthy baby boy born to an exhausted young mother and a father so proud he could just burst with joy. Jesus has those tiny little fingers and toes, 10 of each, and wisps of jet black hair on his scalp, which is still just a bit misshapen from its journey down the birth canal. The next miracle, of course, is that Mary, the infant's mother, is a virgin. You see, the New Testament account is very specific. Mary and her fiancé Joseph have not yet slept together as husband and wife. But an angel of the Lord, Gabriel by name, announces to Mary that she will be the mother of the Messiah, that her son will be called the Son of the Highest, and that this son will be conceived in her not by human means, but by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. In a very real, physical sense, Jesus is the Son of God. Christmas is about the miracle of the Virgin Mother. It's a miracle, too, that Joseph believes Mary. A man, even a man in love, would have to find it hard to understand when his fiancée turns up pregnant without his involvement. Men tend to be jealous creatures and inclined to believe the worst. But Joseph is also visited by an angel who tells him that the baby boy will be called Jesus, Yeshua, God saves, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph's continued love for Mary and her child is a Christmas miracle in itself. It's also a miracle of sorts that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. His parents, after all, lived in Nazareth, which was 4 days to the north. The only thing that could have brought about such a last-minute journey was a court order. And that's exactly what Joseph received, in the form of orders from the Roman government that every citizen of Judea had to appear in his ancestors' birthplace for a census. Since Joseph is a direct descendant of King David, he returns to the town where David was born and cared for his father's sheep. Matthew quotes the prophet Micah as saying, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And so God arranges a trip for Mary and Joseph, a rather inconvenient trip for a woman nearly ready to give birth, a trip designed to fulfill a prophecy. It's also a miracle that on the night Jesus was born, shepherds from the same hillsides where David cared for his sheep file into the stable where a baby and mother now rest. The shepherds tell of a heavenly visitation. "I bring you good news, great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." The shepherds find the baby sleeping in a cow's feeding trough or manger, just as the angel has told them. And they tell Mary and Joseph about the end of the angelic visitation, when not just one, but a huge army of angels, rank upon rank, thousands upon thousands, join together in a heavenly chorus, singing, yes, shouting the words,
"Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men, goodwill to men."
That Jesus was first laid in the manger is a miracle too, when you think about it. The swaddling clothes that enfold the baby Jesus are not unique, but the manger is. It's a vivid symbol of the poverty of the baby's parents, and their poor accommodations. the manger sends an astounding message that God is willing to humble himself from the height of glory, not just to a king's palace, but to descend to and become the poorest of the poor. The miracle of the manger is in God's unfathomed humility. It's a miracle that when Jesus is born, a star appears boldly in the winter sky, that wise men from the east see it and understand that it signifies the birth of the King of the Jews. It's a miracle that these wise men and their company of servants travel on camelback nearly 1,000 miles to see the child, that they bring gold and frankincense and myrrh, that the star leads them to the very house in which Joseph, Mary, and the child are living, that these wealthy princes prostrate themselves on the dirt floor before the young child. These are the miracles of the star. But the greatest miracle at Christmas is that this squalling, tiny newborn is God himself entering the human plane. Women have always known this, and a whole generation of fathers now understand too, that birth, especially the birth of your first child, is a pretty intense thing. There's the prolonged labor, the transition phase, where even rational women tend to lose their composure. And then, usually through great exertion, the actual birth, when the baby is expelled from his mother's womb. The baby's head crowns, and then a slightly bluish little face appears, followed quickly by the shoulders. And finally, the baby emerges slick with waxy white vernix and blood, and precious. So very precious. Birth is primitive and human. It's the final product of the human reproductive system. It's skin upon skin, and it comes with a lot of stress and usually a good deal of pain. The child isn't a doll that you bought at the store, but your very own flesh and blood. Very much alive, and at the most basic level, a new fellow traveler through this journey that we call life on Earth. The supreme miracle of Christmas is that the God of infinite glory and radiance became human, that he would even want to bind himself to being limited to a human body. But this is the truly remarkable miracle of this flesh and blood event that we call Christmas. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He's talking about Christ Jesus, and he says, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, according to Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. Christian thinkers have been very clear about this. Jesus isn't a human pretending to be God, nor God pretending to be human, but Jesus is fully divine and fully human. Jesus is the God-man. So, when we view the newborn Christ child seeking nourishment at his mother's breast, we're viewing God himself in human flesh. It's an awesome miracle, a miracle that brought amazement long ago to both Mary and Joseph, who were participants in the miracle. And in this newborn flesh and blood baby boy, we view the miracle of miracles, God becoming flesh. Or, as theologians would put it, God becoming incarnate, literally in flesh. And we even know the purpose of this miracle of incarnation, because the angel told Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's only by becoming human that God can offer himself as a fitting atonement for sins that were committed by very human sinners. But the Christmas story doesn't end there. This flesh and blood baby grows to be a flesh and blood man. And on the night before he's betrayed, he takes bread and blesses it and says, this is my flesh. He takes wine and blesses it and says, this is my blood. And the very next day, his flesh is torn and his blood is poured out to save us, his people, from our sins. So, what is Christmas really all about? It's about Jesus and that amazing day when God himself came among us humans as a flesh and blood baby boy. So to you and yours from all of us here at Christian Indie Radio, may this Christmas find you kneeling at his feet, as those who are wise still do to this day. Merry Christmas.